The Annie Altman Show podcast and other projects are field research for the Hugh Manny. Hey, it's Annie. Please check out and share the website, Patreon, and Etsy to help support these projects and my self-project. The Hugh Manny is a one-woman show about how no one ever fully figures out how to be a human being, how there's themes of the human being experience organized into 10 C words connected by the theme of connection, and how discussing these themes we all experience somehow is my best idea to contribute to minimizing unnecessary human suffering through maximizing resource equity. That was a lot of words. Maybe note when you hear the words connection, consciousness, choice, change, compassion, communication, community, creation, charge, curiosity, and/or courage in this episode. That's also a lot of words. Here's some more.
Hello and welcome to the Annie Altman Show, the podcast, season 5. Welcome to the 7th episode in the Communication C series. Today, I am so honored to be here with Jesse Wren, coming in from LA. Jesse is a movement coach who I met through yoga and got to take classes with her and loved her sequencing and her postural focus. And so we are going to communicate and see how those things come up in communicating about communication. Thanks so much, Jesse, for being here to bring in our body and our posture and our breathing and our patterns and our, what are the things that we're doing? Hi, Charlie. Yeah. Thank you both.
The joys of pandemic. thank you, Andy. Thank you for that introduction. That was really sweet. Yeah, I'm really excited to be here. I'm glad that you asked me to do this. It's I think I may have mentioned this to you before, but it's my first podcast to ever broadcast it. So it's really exciting for me. The reason I wanted to have this conversation with you was because in the past, pretty much since last year, since COVID hit last year, I've been really focused on gait mechanics, and I've been really focused on learning the importance of walking, running, and throwing, the foundational human movements, and how it's really corrected my postural imbalances. Versus the yoga world that I was in for, God, over a decade. I came into yoga seeking a spiritual path. I had a lot of trauma growing up, and when I found hot yoga in college, I was done and in, sign me up. There's nothing, I don't need therapy. I don't need anything else. And I'm really, really grateful for what the philosophy and what all the thousands of hours that I've been teaching trainings, doing trainings, teaching classes, taking classes, the mentors that I've had, all of them and all of those experiences, I'm so grateful for. At the end of my yoga journey, I will say it didn't correct me physically, as in it didn't help my postural imbalances. Hold on a second, Charlie. It didn't correct my postural imbalances. It didn't help me move better at all. And when I say move better, I mean walk and run, essentially, which are movements that I rely on when I'm off my mat, right? And it did cause some SI joint issues for me by the end as well, even though I was really mindful of the quote-unquote correct way to do the postures, even though I understood the mechanics behind the, we call it effort and release in the method that I taught. Effort and release, no. Yeah. Wow, it's return, sorry. For whatever reason, the word was escaping me, effort and return. I understood, I knew by the last 5 years of practicing, I knew the ways in which to keep my body safe, because there are schools of thought of, oh, if you're getting injured, you're not doing it right. I knew the right ways, and it still wasn't working for me. So I was really lucky. Somebody mentioned the importance of gait mechanics to me. And so I dug down that rabbit hole for 2 years. And yeah, it's been really, really powerful for me to learn, to get me back into the way that my body, all our bodies, were meant to move. And it's been really essential for me to be able, like, I thought that I had a meditation practice before, but it wasn't until I corrected my imbalances, which everybody has them, it wasn't until I corrected them where I could actually relax in my body. Yeah.
Ooh, that's huge. And I really admire and I really appreciate you being willing to share about what actually works for you. I know yoga can be one of many things that falls in this category of people saying it's a cure-all and it's the best thing for everyone and this works for everyone. And I find that sometimes those things can be the most insidious or the most challenging to then for someone to say, hey, this isn't working for me, or this doesn't feel good for me, or this actually isn't what is most useful and most helpful to me right now, or in this way, or whatever it is. And also so much of yoga is posture too, of like the yoga, not just yoga asana, of what is your posture to support your breath so you can relax your body, like you're saying, rather than holding on to some tension that is then making it harder for you to breathe and for communication, harder for you to communicate with your body and really understand what's up and what's going on.
Yeah, you know, I think that we're all guilty of the wanting the like magic fix, right? Like, take this pill and I'll be happy. Go to that spin class and I'll be skinny. Sign up for me, do yoga and I'll be good. Like, my trauma will go away. You know, like, we want, like, you know, the thought of not getting answers to our problems feels really scary. And if I'm suffering in any way, I need the solution. And that was like what yoga was for me. And I have to say, and I've done that with more things than just yoga, you know, like thinking this is the magic, this book, I just got the book that's going to fix me, you know, or this program, whatever. And it's really been a process of being okay, uncomfortable, and knowing that like, there's no outside fix, you know, like somebody said to me about like 2 weeks ago, I was like, welcome to Earth. Nothing here is going to make you happy. And it's like, so true, like nothing on the outside, like, it's great. I'm so appreciative that my body gets the chance to breathe, but all this external stuff is not sustainable. It feels good. And I like a lot of the stuff, but in the long run, like, I've learned that it's just not, I will run out. Eventually I will run out.
Ooh, I so relate to that. Magic pill, this is the thing for it. And how to, we're talking about communication and the first communication being our own mind-body communication. Mm-hmm. And how to have tools that help us with that thing you're talking about, of the being okay not being okay. Mm-hmm. Being okay with things being miscommunicated or being unknown, I feel like, is a lot of it too, of like, we're not going to ever fully know our whole mind body connection and being okay. Mm-hmm. With that. I'd love to hear some of that transition for you about what your mind body communication was like in your yoga practice, and also what your mind body communication is like now with more of a walking, running, throwing postural focus.
Yeah, you know, back when I was practicing, by the end, it was my practice, what the asana practice, not the meditation and the philosophy. My asana practice, which were just the physical movie, like you go to a class and the teacher tells you what to do in your body. That's called the asana practice, which is just one branch of what the whole yoga, what yoga is. And I think, side note, I think the West has, like, the cultural appropriation around it, in my opinion, has gone awry, and it's gone a little bit far. I think most people that I've seen now, especially in LA, have sort of tainted what it used to be. resentment that I'll have to work on later. But anyway, you know, my mind-body connection by the end of my yoga practice was, it was just a way for me to really check out, you know, like go to class, see my friends, how many flows, like I can't even tell you how many flows I put through my body and how many pigeons I cried in. And I think that yoga feels good for a lot of people because stretching adds some temporary relief. In the long run, it really, and like I will stand on this hill until I die because I've gotten a lot of pushback for this. In the long run, and I know that you're never supposed to say never, never supposed to say, or like always is bad as well, but yoga does not fix or will not help anybody get out of either injury or fix posture. I can't put my experience on what it does to somebody's mind. Like I think for some people, they really do feel in their bodies and they really do feel more connected to spirit and more connected to source. And I love that. Like, I don't know what asana practice they're practicing, but I will say like in general, 90% of asana classes, like flows, hatha, Bikram, sculpt, all that, like whatever. Even like yin, it really, it's gonna cause more issues later. In a lot, to really boil it down to the essential reasons, that is because yoga overstretches ligaments and tissues, and in the long run, like our muscles and our fascia is like a rubber band. Like when we're born, our bodies are meant to contract. Like when we walk and when we run and when we throw, we're just creating slings in our bodies that help pull it back to center. And because yoga is so slow, and I know like some classes are really fast, but when it comes to like, think how fast your body responds when it runs, right? Like it's like this whole chamber, this whole sequence of events happens between your arms, your pelvis, and your legs in less than a second, and then you're on the other side. So no matter how quickly paced a yoga class is, it's still too slow for your muscles and for the body to have, it's called elastic recoil, for your muscles to snap back. Because it creates an over, like it basically, think about like a rubber band, taking your rubber band and just stretching it out and holding it there, and then taking it in a different shape and holding it there, and then putting it in a different shape and holding it there. Eventually it it gets stretched and stretched and stretched and stretched, and it loses its capacity to rebound back to center. And because of that, it's just going to cause more joint discomfort and inflammation in the joints. And I don't know, like for some people, it shows up, for a lot of people, actually for me, it shows up in SI joints, like really, like this really small joint that's your sacrum where it connects to the pelvis. It's this really small joint right there where your leg, like where the femur bone attaches as well. It causes inflammation, and then you'll probably feel the pain somewhere else, like shooting up your spine. And I will say too, because the ligaments and the muscles get overstretched over time, the deep core muscles that we need to stabilize our lumbar, pelvis, hip complex, they get destroyed. I've done a lot of leg lifts, and I've done a lot of sit-ups, and I've done a lot of bicycle crunches for 10 years. Like my core, internal core, like deep core, was gone, completely gone and wrecked. So yeah, I want to say that doing all those classes to my body, by the end, it was impossible for me to actually communicate and feel my body. If I were to give you an analogy, it really felt like my body was dead. Like it was like so overstretched and it was like so flaccid. It felt like, and I could hold myself up, but like there was just something that was keeping me from fully connecting. And then when I found movement through gait, like really learning the sequence of walking and running. I mean, first it took a lot of corrective stuff before I was even able to do that. It felt like electricity was like running through my body. Like it felt like I was turning things on that have been off for 20 plus years. It felt like, and until I practiced it, because I was like, I was very hesitant at first. I was like, no, I've been practicing for 10 years. I teach really smart yoga. I know anatomy. I mean, Annie, you took my class. I know anatomy. I only focused on the posture. I was not a Dharma woo-woo type of teacher. It was like, no, go to somebody else for that. I'm going to teach you what to do in your body because I value safety and I value keeping the human form as integrous as I can. Like, that's just the way that I liked being taught. That's the way that I, like, that was how I took my job. And so I was really adversarial to this other way for a long time and thought, no, I can just combine them. Like I can do what I'm learning here and combine it with yoga. And it was impossible. Like you just can't. One of the things that somebody said to me is like, what does somebody do when they get off their yoga mat? Like after an hour class, what does somebody do? I was like, they walk to their cubby. Okay. They walk to their cubby. And then like, what do they do after that? Like, oh, they walk to their car and then like, you know, they sit and then they drive and they get out and then they walk to their front door. It's like, it just doesn't translate to how we're supposed to move. Does that make sense? So now, after doing this new, after really focusing my training on the importance of gait, I'm just more aware of where my body is in space. And I'm more aware of my dysfunctions, which is sucks. Like it's traumatic to really see the different rib shifts, the way that your pelvis is shifted forward or shifted back, the way that your pelvis is tucked. But I will say that it's given me so much more confidence in life. Like I just notice the way that I stand now and I feel like I can hold my, to get woo-woo a little bit, I feel like I can hold myself up with integrity versus constantly trying to like lift myself up like you would lift a rubber band, right? Like I feel like I'm just more, like my foot tensions have gotten really good. I'm just more closer to the earth. Like I can feel the earth more. Like I can feel my feet pulling the ground when I walk with them now. I can feel my arms assisting in the rotation of my upper back. Like I can feel the lift of my chest when I get proper core tensions. And just having that as a foundation has been really, I'm just so grateful. I'm so grateful. I was one of those people who wanted to heal through crystals and candles and singing and meditation. And I'm not knocking meditation, but like I wanted to take all these like other like woo-woo ways to heal. And I never, and I don't think a lot of us do this, I never wanted to actually fix my physical form first, like the actual tangible thing that's like here, you know?
Yes. I'm so glad to hear all of this. And the, it's a funny irony to me too. To me, that's some of the most woo stuff is the most literal physical. What is your bone stacking in that moment? Where are you holding some tension that is then changing how you're breathing, which is changing how you're communicating with other people and how you're communicating with yourself first and how you're communicating with other people then also. And
totally,
I would love to hear more about, because that sounds, especially with yoga and in any life thing, when you give 10 years of your life to a thing, and you know it's always going to be some part of you or it's there, and that you gave so much energy and attention to it, I'd love to hear more about that transition? Because I'm guessing, and you shared a little bit about some of your resistance to it at first of
something new.
Yeah, of something new, of anything new, and that human for that sequence and that human pattern where I know I get to this too, where it's like, okay, I know something's not working in whatever this thing is I'm doing. And to make the leap to then say, to actually do a different thing is one of the classic easier said than done things, I feel like.
You know, it's so interesting. I love this question. Well, first of all, my transition was definitely prompted by pain. And it was definitely prompted, like, physical pain, you know, like my heart goes out to anybody who's experiencing pain in the body. Like, it wears you down over time, no matter where it is. So definitely that. And then it was so funny when I was learning, how to walk and run and like the importance of like figuring out about those correct sequences in my body, it was all antithetical to everything I've ever been taught. I knew anatomy and yoga. I knew, like, for those of you who are familiar with yoga, I knew the wheels in back bends, how to make sure that the upper back is taking the back bend versus the lower back. I knew those, like, anatomy trains wheels. I knew there's different like rotations of the legs that they teach of like, make sure that there's no external rotation of the legs when both legs are parallel to each other. Right. There was just like certain concepts that were just like ingrained in me of like keeping yoga as a safe thing. One of the best programs in America was the Yoga Works one. And I did lots of Yoga Works trainings. I mean, they were like renowned for their advanced teacher trainings. And then when I found this other method, you know, everything was literally opposite of what I have been taught. Like, you know, there's that classic, I give this like example, there's this classic like, oh, if somebody's depressed, all you got to do is give them heart openers. It's like the quintessential like new teacher go-to, like, I don't know what to teach today, I'm going to open everybody's hearts, right? And I remember like thinking like, oh, and like, instead, like if somebody's like stuck, right? Like if their like shoulders roll forward, which so many of us do, the upper back rounds, it comes into kyphosis. Our hip flexors get super weak due to our sedentary lifestyle. You know, we're all sitting at a computer all day or sitting behind a car, like a steering wheel, or sitting when we're waiting to go into the doctor's office. We're just sitting. We sit a lot. So there's a lot of focus in yoga of like heart openers and back bends. And this is just an example, when I learned gait mechanics, it was almost opposite. Like, it was like, oh, I'm not gonna like just like force them into extreme back bend because bodies aren't ready for that. You know, like, oh, instead of just like taking it into these extreme ranges of motion because we just want to do the opposite right now, it's like taking the time and learning the process to get there. Yes, like gait mechanics do eventually open you up and it gives you the perfect amount of stretch that your body needs, but that stretch is earned. There's something else on the other side working. If you're gonna lengthen one muscle, there's something on the other side that definitely needs to contract to balance out both sides of the body. So because we are so like hunched over as culture world rounds, like not just America, like actually connecting the front of your body, actually connecting your core to your legs versus just like pulling yourself into this extreme back bend fixes a lot. I was apprehensive at first too, because I was like, I know yoga, I've been around yoga, I trust my body, da 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 da. But I couldn't fight the results. Like, once the results started coming in and once my body was able to wake up and once my pain completely went away and that need, I was just telling somebody today, a client of mine, we were working on some stuff and she just started like stretching afterwards, you know? And I was like, God, I remember that. Like, I remember thinking that I always needed to stretch. And I remember feeling discomfort and just like, you know, you wake up and you're like, God, and you're like throwing, like you're interlacing your hands behind you and shoving your shoulder blades into your chest. And then your neck pops and you just feel like, oof, like I gotta like something's uncomfortable. I gotta like shake it out. Right. And it's so funny because since I started, you know, I completely eliminated stretching out of my practice. I completely eliminated yoga out of my practice. I completely eliminated basically anything. Like I don't even really run anymore because my body's like, I still have so many dysfunction in my body. I don't want to injure myself later. But I will say like eliminating just all of that, you know, CrossFit, spin, those things I was doing a little bit of too. I don't do that anymore. Like my body doesn't have this like cortisol response of like just like needing to move or needing to pop or needing to sit and play. Like now, like because I've taken the time to build tensions and start to correct a little bit of my posture, I'm just able to fucking sit. And like when I wake up in the morning, Charlie, when I wake up in the morning, like my neck doesn't pop anymore like it used to. Like all of a sudden, just things feel, hold on a second.
It was a good exclamation point timing. Thank you, Charlie.
Things feel like they don't need, like I'm not constantly trying to readjust in the world anymore. And my body just feels more solid.
Ooh. What a fucking metaphor. I'm not trying to be in the world anymore. As I'll readjust my seat saying that. So much of that too is about strengthening and also about slowing down in a different way. Like you mentioned some of the sort of slowing down in yoga and then also how some of that can be sort of antithetical to the speed at which our muscles react and do things.
Yeah.
Yeah, I relate to a lot of the stuff you're saying, and I'd love to go back specifically or zoom more in on the part about pain, and pain being a teacher, and pain being, like you said, the got you to the point of saying, like, this can't stand, because it wears on your mental health in a way that I often think about the disability community as the most overlooked community, and in all, you know, social justice movements and all of these things, disability community, both physical and mental disabilities, is really often pushed to the side or given pretty minimal, I'll say, help and support and focus even. And I'm really glad to hear you say and share your personal experience with it too, where it literally impacts your whole life and your whole day and your whole
everything,
like both, you know, how you're carrying yourself and how you're standing and communicating, and also that if the first thing you're doing that I know so many people can relate to is they wake up and they wrench something, they have some big crack, there's this like big impulse to get something out because of these stored traumas and all of these things that need attention, that then often without even knowing it, we're creating more problems, or we're not really getting to the root of the problem, I feel like is a lot of this too. Like, it sounds like from what you're saying, and from like where your practice is now and different movement things, is that posture is the base, the structure.
Yeah, totally. It's like the keystone. Like if your posture is not even or balanced, I should say balanced, it's like a trickle effect. Everything else we put our bodies through, it's just going to fall into the whatever compensation pattern it is. And thus we get pain, right? And then it's just like, you know that, I mean, I think you can relate. You know that feeling when you're in pain? Oh, yeah, you were telling me about your Achilles tendon. no matter what you do, there's just this like nag. Like, doesn't it feel like, I remember when I blew out my SI joint, every time I took a step on my left leg, and like the first week I was like, it's okay, it's okay, it's okay, da da da. And then it got to the point where like every time I took a step, it just felt like fuck. Like in my mind, like kept saying like bad words, right? Or like it was this like constant reminder. And then eventually over time, I forgot that I was in pain and I just got depressed. Like I forgot that like, oh, my body's telling me something. And it was that constant reminder of like, ugh, every time I felt it, that eventually it just kind of like enveloped everything. And when you're in pain, you can't really be present for others because there's just this like, it's like a silent alarm constantly going off in your head, you know? So yeah, really listening to that. And that's like another thing, like I'm just so passionate about helping people get out of pain. And especially as we age, you know, we're fed this belief that we're like genetically predisposed to a certain way of being, like hyperextended knees or arthritis. I've heard people say like, arthritis is in my family, I'm fucked. And it's like, not like, no, we can fix all of these things by going back to basics, you know, like experiencing what it's like to move through space in the way that we were meant to move does something on an energetic level. Yes, it pulls us out of pain if done correctly. And two, it reinforces, it's just grounding, you know? I'm not sure exactly where I was going with that, but yeah, it's, and like, and I think it goes back to like, I didn't even know. And a lot of it is like, just, it's not only misinformation that's given to us, but it's also just not being aware of what quote unquote correct posture looks like. Like, you know, I looked in the mirror before learning how to walk and run. And I was like, I'm skinny, I'm good. You know, like I didn't really think about like posture. It was just like, what's the number on the scale? And what do I look like in these jeans? You know what I mean? And now, like now I really don't care. I don't. As long as I move good and I feel good, I don't. That's another tangent we can always explore later. But basically, I'll condense this up, but the second we're born, we're fighting against gravity. Gravity is this constant reinforcement of pushing us down. So it's called longitudinal compression. So think about like growing up, like the second we're born. Well, yeah, the second we're born. Well, basically when we learn to walk, we'll say, because when you're born, your parents like hold you around. Think about like a bookcase or like a shelf that's on top of your head that as you grow, it's slowly pushing you down, right? And so everybody, even athletes, all have postural compensations that need to be addressed due to longitudinal compression. So some bodies like take this like pressure and they get shifted forward and back. That's what mine did. My pelvis, and because we live in like a sedentary lifestyle, my pelvis got shifted forward, which everything had like things compensate. It's not just like one thing happens. My pelvis shifted forward to compensate from that. My rib cage shifted back to compensate that. My head shifted forward. It's called forward head position. So my pelvis, my ribs, my head. And that's like, it's like blocks that just get misaligned, right? Other people experience rotations, like we get this like longitudinal compression and like the rib cage will twist one way, so the shoulders have to try to twist the other, so the neck is trying to rotate the other. Other people get scoliosis. Well, we all have scoliosis, just some is a little bit more extreme than others. Like some ankles invert or evert, knees rotate in and out. There's millions of different ways that our joints and our bodies and our like larger body masses, like our pelvis, our ribs, and our head take this pressure. But essentially, like we all have to figure out ways to correct that. Thus came in different practices, right? Like the fitness industry and yoga and Pilates and a lot of really smart people just wanting to help / make money, I'm sure. But none of it actually, in my experience and in my opinion, the other forms of movement aren't going to fix your posture because they don't support what humans are, how humans were meant to move. So how can they fix posture? Like, how can they fix our postural misalignments if they don't even support walking, right? Like Pilates, I was a fan of Pilates for a while, even after yoga, because I was like, it's the only thing, at least there's some fucking resistance in it. At least there's, you know, they're not just like dumping into their low backs when they're in shapes, you know. Fine, Pilates, like if I have to choose something, I'm choosing Pilates. And even now, I guess my mind has sort of changed on it because it doesn't mimic gait. You're like basically on your back the whole time, or doing things with your body that doesn't, like once you get up, I guess I shouldn't talk too much about it because I don't know that much about it. But in my opinion, it doesn't support like actual corrections. If that's what you're into, you know, like I talk to some people who don't care. And like, that's not part of their passionate landscape, you know, and they're not feeling pain and they love to go and work out with their friends and they're like, yeah, cool, good for you, you fix your posture, I look good and I feel good and whatever. And you know, like that's great too, you know. I just know for me, the fact that I have the tools now to fix things without having to spend thousands of dollars on a physical therapist or thousands of dollars on a chiropractor or thousands of dollars on acupuncture. Although I do like acupuncture. It feels really good. It feels really like it's really empowering to get these tools and learn how to correct your body.
Yes. The empowerment of it and having that mind body communication. And I'm glad you brought that point too, because that's something I'm a big believer of do whatever movement you're going to do, like move your body however you're going to move your body rather than being still and not moving it ever.
Sure.
So being mindful about how you're moving your body and how is that impacting your life on the whole. And I'm really glad that you were cool with and thought of sequencing in this way before, of when you describe the sequence of events within your body, when one thing goes out of alignment and then everything else compensates around it, and all the different movement practices in their own flavors will talk about how your whole body is connected. And I feel like from what it sounds like, that it wasn't until you let yourself be more basic, be more simplistic, to then have more space for all of these complexities that are inherently there in our body and in our posture, that what I'm hearing a lot of this is that it sounds like a lot of different movement forms sort of bypass the basics. And so then they go into all of these other, you know, big fancy long hold yoga stretches or like really intense weightlifting or things that maybe you're fun and cool to do and can feel mentally empowering and blah, 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 that are skipping this step zero of, I love what you said, like, what does someone do after the yoga class? They walk from their mat to somewhere and then they go walk again, and really getting to that basic of, and I've seen it, and it's like its own funny stand-up bit or sketch comedy thing of, you know, someone who you'll see on their yoga mat, and then the second they get off, it's almost like they're in a different body, or like they, like how they walk, or it's just, it can be so different versus, it's a feeling and it's a seeing someone walk in their body and feel strong and stable and slow, I feel like that's a big thing that I notice and that I experience in my own body of it, of like being able to do those fast muscle responses from a very centered, slow, controlled place. And then how that trickles out into your whole life. Like you're saying of, wow, you know, I can go to acupuncture because I want to and because it feels good and because it helps with these other things, or it helps improve this even more, rather than I need this to survive, essentially. And the thing too you said about pain and how much, I mean, I'm like sitting here rubbing on my Achilles and in my knee in some ways, knowing that the pain takes you out of the moment, because, and it's a weird paradox too. And in your story too, it sounds like it also gets you back in your body in a very big way of, you know, maybe without the pain that you experienced, you wouldn't have gotten to the movement practices that you're going to now, or you even said like, maybe you wouldn't have left the other things that were causing the pain. And so it's like, on the one hand, getting you more into your body, while on this other hand, and it's sort of too, like saying this, it feels kind of like the list of human things, like sex and death and taxes and stuff, mm-hmm. that we're like all like we're not allowed to talk about, that pain is sort of this insidious and like shadowy subject where, you know, I'm thinking even of like the pain scale faces and just how ridiculous the ways that we've attempted to understand pain, yeah. Eastern and Western medicine wise, and then to deal with it and address it and be okay with, you know, we can only feel the pain in our own body and people are all going to have different sensitivities to pain. And what we can see is how that plays out in someone's life. Like, does it take them away from a conversation? Is it, I mean, like, it's such a, and I get sad, honest. I mean, I get angry and I get more sad about, it feels like such a, like, no shit that if every time you were stepping with your left leg, your whole hip was in pain, of course you're going to be upset. And then of course it's going to be that much harder for you to even address it because your baseline is disturbed and you're not, like, in my experience with my Achilles, like less in trust with my own body and being like, well, what am I doing wrong that I'm still in pain and these things aren't working and all of those other stories in that sequence that can follow.
Yeah.
Like, how do I break out of this? How do I change it?
Yeah. Oh, totally. And I love that too. And it especially reminds me of like, not just physical pain, but like you said, like how we respond to things when we're in physical pain, we can get really deep and notice how we respond to things when we're in mental pain, you know, like suffering from things like depression or mania or, you know, ADHD, ADD, bipolar, you know, like I know a lot of people who have these things, right? And addiction even. And at the end of the day, like, and like you said too, like pain is just not really talked about. It really is like this shadow thing. And if you're experiencing pain, it's kind of like, at least in my experience, was like either from my caretakers were like, learn how to shove that shit down because no time for pain. Like we don't want to deal with it. We don't want you to deal with it. Let's just feed you and you be happy now. And then also like how that manifests with how we respond to the world later too, like when we just ignore the pain. In some cases, like yourself, like with your Achilles, you can't really ignore it because it's there, right? But I do think that it also is something that's like deep down, if you were to get honest, and you know, correct me if you want, but it's like almost, and like, and I guess I'm, because like this is what I experienced too, but it's almost like when you're in some sort of physical discomfort or joint pain, it's like kind of embarrassing. Like it's something to be like shameful about, like, oh, but I'm fine. And then you kind of want to tell people, but it's okay. Like, I'm fine. Like versus like one, like acknowledge that this sucks. to like really take in, like if somebody's like, fuck, you're in pain, like, yeah, man, like not a like a direct out pity party, but like really honoring the discomfort and the suffering around it, and then, you know, finding ways to fix it from there. I'm sorry you're still in pain. I really didn't know that.
I'll do my best to receive and not totally deflect.
Yeah.
I'm really glad to hear you say that. And I really resonate with that experience of it feeling shameful.
Mm-hmm.
And weird extra layers of shame where I feel like too, some of this is almost this conditioning that comes up where sort of in the same, like on the emotional conditioning that I feel like happens with so many humans of being happy phobic. Feeling like we're not allowed to be happy, that it seems often like there's this conditioning that is kind of indirectly there that says that pain is normal. And, you know, people will say like,
often, no pain, no gain.
Yeah, that one too, that classic of like, you have to go through pain to earn this whatever thing. And also this idea that I know I still believe in some levels of things where life is pain and life is painful. And as you get older, it's painful and your body's just gonna hurt rather than what the fuck? That's bullshit. I know that's bullshit.
Yes.
Deeper in me that we're here to feel good. We're here to be in our bodies. And if we're gonna be in our body, that means without pain. There maybe will be moments of that, sure. And also no pain, no pain. How am I gonna be in my body if my Achilles is throbbing and if things are hurting, then of course it's going to be hard for me to pay attention even to my other ankle.
Yeah.
And how are we going to show up, and how am I going to show up in everything with that? That,
yeah.
I feel like, yeah, I don't know if like, if you resonate with that experience too, where it almost feels like pain is like the norm.
Yes. I think maybe we talked about this, one time of like, yeah, like it's just like what happens, you know, what happens to, like all athletes get injured. Like it's like you're putting your body through these extreme things. Like there's chiropractors, or like, yep, that's why there's surgeons, and that's why there's like PT specialists, right? And there's this like, and even like in yoga, like all my mentor, like literally every single one, Charlie, he's like driving me crazy. Every single one of my mentors eventually had to really cut back their practice, like really learn how to modify, because every single one of them either had a torn labrum in their shoulder, a fucked up hip joint, a low back discomfort, core distension, neck problem, like every single one of them after a certain amount of time. And it was kind of like, okay, like eventually that'll happen to me too. Or maybe I can just practice safe, which is what I did. And I still ended up like getting injured, even though every single one of my mentors like hammered into me, like you don't want to get hurt. So I was really mindful in my practice. And there was still this thing of like, but that's just kind of like goes with it. Like eventually you just learn how to move through injury. Same in the fitness industry, like the fitness model is like bodybuilders and CrossFit people. I don't know if they have a term other than that, or like spinners. Oh my God. I have this one woman friend who's she loves spin and she can't even walk anymore. And it's like, I know that these things may feel like good in the moment, but to give up your future, like to give up your old, should we all be so lucky, like to age past 60 and 70, and to give up the ability to like run around with your grandkids because you're in pain of this like thing that felt good in your 20s and 30s isn't fucking worth it to me. You know, like you see older people, not to be ageist, like doing yoga, and you just want to like protect them. And you're like, oh, careful, like don't throw out your back. And it's really like, Imagine if you saw them walking around more. Imagine if we saw people as they age get better in their gait mechanics. How transformative that would be, and how, as a society, we don't have to be doomed to a wheelchair in the future. We don't have to be subject to a cane or a walker or forced on our couches because it just hurts our knees too much to walk. I don't think that that destiny has to be. Like, I don't think that that's just like the end, like that's just what happens. I don't. Like, I used to, and I don't think that anymore. It's like no pain, no gain is a phrase that I think is really detrimental, and it reinforces the notion to just shove down feelings, because it can go physical and it can also go mental. People who are raised in suffering and trauma and abuse, it's just kind of like shove it down, you're fine, keep going, just like get a job and you'll be happy or whatever. And it's like it takes those of us, you know, to like put it like a fork down and be like, no, like, no, no pain, no, like, no, I'm not going to do this. Like, no pain. If I'm feeling pain, I'm going to honor the fact that I feel pain and I'm going to do something about it, versus like, just like this, like trudging along societal response to pain.
Totally. I'm going to repattern. I'm going to change the sequence that I've been fed that is like, this is how things go. And even too, like you're talking about, of seeing so many people in the same field of movement experiencing the same physical discomforts, and people then still wanting to focus more on like, oh, well, what are those people doing wrong with their whatever, or how could they do that practice differently, instead of being like, well, hold on, all of these people are having the same like one of three injuries here, so maybe there's something else that's going on that we can learn from here.
Totally.
And I'm really glad you brought up to the emotional. I love too, like, you're like, I'm not woo-woo, and also you're very much a mind-body communication awareness person, in my experience, of it's the same thing. It's the same, like, oh, just ignore that emotional pain, or oh, life is supposed to be hard, and it's the norm to be sad and angry. What?
Yeah.
What are we doing with what? I don't understand. I want to know too, like, you touched some on, and I feel like that's a big root of the change, and it just, the mindset, the self-communication again to change, to say, hey, this thing isn't working and I need to do something else, is a really big challenge, I feel like, to overcome. And even the change of communicating to say, wait, hold on, I don't want to follow, like, for you to stay in what you did, and like, or to have stayed in what you did and follow that route, or to communicate and say, this is me honoring the pain in my body, to say, I'm going to take a different route here, I'm not going to follow the same path, because it isn't working for me right now, I see this not working for these other people, what can I do instead? And for he's here of courage, the courage to communicate and stand up and advocate for that.
Yeah, thank you for acknowledging that. I really appreciate it. I can't give it like all like self credit, like just myself. Like, I have to say, like, the results, like, once I started feeling better is when I like started advocating for myself more too, you know, like I couldn't fight the results, and I couldn't fight the feelings of being like recharged in my body. Not to say the transition wasn't hard though, you know, it really was challenging for me to leave the family that I built in LA, in like all the yoga communities, and the disconnect from my mentors. Not to say that I couldn't call them up and say like, hey, how's it going? Da, da, da. But it's just different, you know, like when you lose that common foundation that bound you in the beginning, it just changes the relationship. It's kind of like, 12-step meetings. You meet somebody who's also, you know, you meet somebody in a meeting who's like also trying to get sober, and then one of you goes out. Yeah, you still love that person, but the relationship changes a bit. I went out when it comes to the yoga community. Like, I started drinking a different Kool-Aid, as I think some of them would say. So it was really hard. Like, that was really hard. But at the same time, like, you know, the beautiful thing about the yoga practitioners that I know is their ability to self-reflect, their ability to, like, you know, instead of just like pointing the finger and judging other people, I always know that there's like a dual responsibility of, I'm going to try to keep my side of the street clean, and the people that I know in that community as well, I know they do the same, like all they can do to keep their side of the street clean too. And while there still may be conflict, there's still at the bottom of that, there's a lot of love there, you know? So I'm forever grateful for the community out here and the things that I've learned. And now what's next, you know? And like, now it's like on to the next, like the next step for me. So in that regard, I am COVID was great for me in that way, because it really forced me out of yoga, because I lost a lot of my teaching jobs, besides like clients online here and there. But yeah, it really did, like, it was a hard, like, slam the door shut on me, as far as like trying to do both, you know, like, I'm just gonna like ride the fence. And it was like, nope, no more. You're off the fence now, which is always challenging to fall in that way. But like you said previously, like, I think it's like how we handle those situations. And it's like that constant circle pattern of, we go through these things, and there's always, I mean, in my experience, there's always been a lesson in everything that's happened to me. And there's always been, always, no matter how much I've suffered in things, there's always been a moment where I'm like, oh, that happened because of that. Like a moment of grace in whatever the universe wanted to teach me at that time. Always.
Ooh, I'm so glad you brought up the circle. The hero's also too, I love the yoga philosophy of what is the lesson, and being grateful for that moment of understanding it, or having some connection to the pain and to the whole process, rather than it feeling like pain for nothing, or just finishing sort of a experience, rather than celebrating and really being in your body. And like, so much of posture stuff too is, to me, like things of, you know, power pose or different stances to change how you feel. And as like, I love dancing, and having that as a celebration of movement and of your body, rather than, I wonder too, if you resonate with this part about, and it sounds like stuff, you know, you said you came into yoga for healing. And I feel like in my experience with yoga and life things, and then that reflecting on how I go about life and learning from that, is this very extremist tendency and this very like all or nothing, and just more like general level of intensity. So I'm like, I'm gonna do yoga. I'm like, do yoga all out, or I'm gonna like heal all of my traumas from this thing. And then that showing a way of navigating the world, that it sounds like so much of this stuff that you are transitioning to now, and focusing on posture and focusing on the sequence of your bone stacking and postural learning and different strengthenings, and it really sounds like it's slowing down, and it is easing up in the like effort ease of yoga philosophy, that it is more easeful than, in my experience, a lot of Western yoga practices get very fitnessy and very push for me, which also was my own stuff coming out in a place that gave it a place to say like, oh yeah, like go into the deepest backbend you can, rather than what if you didn't push that hard?
Yeah. what if we didn't push that hard?
Apparently an option.
Apparently, yeah, apparently. Apparently, like, slowing down is an option, too. You don't have to rush around all the time.
Yeah, which, again, with posture, as soon as I start rushing to do different things, then I'm like, oh, wait, that shoulder's way up, or, like, that thing is, I'm, like, really tensing my left, like, my left butt cheek is really tight, or, like, something starts shifting that I feel like. When I back off more, then I am more alignment. Totally. I'm curious too, for closing this, like, what is your internal monologue self-talk or, you know, as you go about your day now, do you, like, during this conversation, have you had moments of sort of checking in on your posture or breathing, or, like, how does it come up for you now?
No, I don't so much, like sitting with you right now, I'm not like really focused on what's going on in my body because I'm not like, for me to like do that, I have to be like connected from like my feet up, like standing somewhere and like, okay, like remembering my shifts. Now when I hold myself in conversation with people where I'm not so much focused on the movement or the posture, it's more so about feeling my body just sit on the couch right now, like without like the need to, like I used to like kind of like tap my fingers when I was talking to people, and I would like, you know, have nervous twitches or anxiety would creep up, and I used to talk, and I still sometimes do, I used to talk super fast in conversations because my body was just, I mean, I really don't know how else to explain it other than it was just like dead. And I was just like this constant need, like a survival mechanism of this constant need to tap or twitch my foot or talk really fast or like adjust my body. And now, like, it's not so much that I try to remind myself or have internal dialogue or am like focusing on a certain mantra. Like, all that has sort of gone away. Now it's more so about just letting my body sit how my body wants to sit without like focusing on a thousand other things, without twitching, without tapping, without like trying to slow down my speech and let the speech, like let the words come from my belly versus like the words coming from my throat. And then as far as like how I move in space, yeah, it almost feels like I'm connecting to rhythm when I walk now. It's not just this like mindless activity that was for years. It's given me this like sense of tapping into just, you know, from my car to the grocery store of like, like I'm like flowing, like just like flowing to the door. And then I forget, but it's there.
I love that for the full circle and the yoga irony of asana as a seat and you having much more of a seat in yourself, letting go of the asana practice and letting yourself do practices that actually support your body. And two, then that answering its own question of, because you're not having that sort of internal dialogue or checking in, or there's not something in pain that's wanting attention and saying like tap, 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 that then your pace and your breathing and your everything is able to relax more.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
So fun.
Good, yeah. I'd like to put you on the spot with advice you would give to past Jesse. And whoever is listening, let's say there's someone tuning into this who maybe like you has been doing yoga for a long time or has some sort of movement practice that they've gotten really attached to or that they've gotten really invested in. Maybe it's not an attachment. Maybe it is really what works for them. They have like one route of it
What?
So how I heard that was like, what advice would I give to, 23-year-old Jessie who devoted her life to practicing and teaching yoga?
I know I'm putting you on the spot with that question.
Honestly, no, I would tell her now, looking back, I would tell her, you don't need to run away from life anymore. Like, there's more to life than your yoga mat. Like, I wish she would have known that going to yoga after a big fight with her boyfriend wasn't, for me, it wasn't a healthy option. It was a way to escape. It was a way to disassociate. And it was a way to just create more barriers between me and my life. My yoga mat turned into an island of isolation.
I have chills everywhere.
Whoa. Yeah.
And it's so empowering and inspiring to hear that in the context of you feeling so grounded and embodied in your life now, and you taking the steps to continue walking literally and metaphorically.
Totally. Yeah, totally. Totally. Thank you, Annie.
Thank you. I needed to hear what 23-year-old Jessie needed to hear too. Yeah.
Ooh, I still need to hear it too.
it's a helpful reminder, communicating, and again with sequence and circles that keeps coming around. Is this tool helping me check in or check out?
Totally, totally. And I can create new islands of isolation. It's not just my yoga mat anymore. But yeah.
Ooh. Thank you for sharing so openly and honestly about all of it. And I look
forward
to however I get to learn from your learning of anatomy and sequencing, I am excited about and look forward to.
Yeah, Annie, thank you.
Thank you so much again for coming on, and thank you listeners for tuning in, and thanks for being you.
Hey, thanks for sticking around till the end. Please check out theanniealtmanshow.com and also patreon.com/theanniealtmanshow if you're able and interested in donating $1 or more per month to these projects. Non-dollar ways to share value includes and is not limited to sharing anything, the podcast, any YouTube video, any blog post, any social media account, subscribing, following anywhere, rating or reviewing anything, sending any feedback or ideas, and or connecting me with people for the podcast or other projects you feel would enjoy this work. In my opinion, word of mouth is the only, quote, real advertising, so here I am using words from my mouth.